Today is December the 16th, and we are continuing in Parshas Toldos, and we're going to start tonight. The truth is, we're kind of in the middle of this whole discussion, but we're going to start on page 130 and 131.
What does Toldos mean?
Generations. We left off last time having discussed Yitzchak's impact on the Plishtim and on Avimelech in particular, and how as Yitzchak interacts with the Plishtim, Avimelech's prestige and honor diminishes, where he began really in the time of Abraham as a superior monarch, but as time goes on, his power becomes more and more diluted. And here, this is where he finally hits bottom, where Yitzchak's own wealth and fame and honor eclipses Avimelech's, to the point where the subjects of Avimelech begin to say, what do we need Avimelech for? We have Yitzchak. And it forces Yitzchak out of the area of the Plishtim, out of Gerar, and we have a whole episode with the wells. So let's read through the psukim, the verses.
Was it the same person? Or did
you, I'm not sure if it was the same person. It may have been the same person, but it doesn't have to be. It could have been just the position. Either way, the position is diminished. So we're going to start from Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. We mentioned last time in the time of famine, Yitzchak planted and he managed this bumper crop. In the time of the famine, he came. And here, the description of his wealth is recorded. Vayigdal ha'ish, the man grew. Vayelech halokh v'gadel, he went on and continued to grow. Ad kigadal ma'od, until he was very great. The word gadol, which means big or great, occurs three times in this verse to show just how great he became. Vayhilo miknei tzon umiknei bakar v'avudah rabah, he had sheep and he had cattle and he had many servants. Vayikanuo, so Plishtim, and the Plishtim became jealous of him. V'chol ha'be'iros asher chafru avdei aviv, and all the wells that the servants of his father had dug, bimei Abraham aviv, in the days of Abraham his father, sitimum Plishtim, the Plishtim filled them in, vayimalum afar, and they filled them up with dirt. The Plishtim stopped them up, sitmum Plishtim, vayimalum afar, and they filled them up with dirt. Now, what is that double language? The Plishtim stopped them up, sitmum Plishtim. How do they translate it here? The Plishtim
stopped up.
Okay. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And filled them. Sometimes we get it right. And filled them with earth. Filled them with dirt. Isn't that redundant? Why not just tell me you filled it with earth? But what's this double language? They stopped it up and they filled it with dirt.
Yeah, because
they
stopped it up with something else and then.
Okay. What's the difference whether you stop it up with something else or with dirt?
You stop it up with water, you don't create them.
Well, all right, well, there was water in the beginning.
If you stop it up with something that's not drinkable, then you can. Like if you stop it up with sewage, then you can't use it.
Okay.
You
okay.
Could like stop it with a cork, which then you could undo and use. Right?
But if it's with dirt,
you have to rediscover it again.
I have to rediscover it. They obliterated it. They didn't just render it unusable. They would have thrown stones in there. So then someone else would have had to come along and remove the stones. They obliterated its existence. They made the wells as if they had never been dug before. They didn't just stop them up, which is what the first statement is. They added insult to injury and actually made it like it didn't exist. Now, you tell me, this is a time of famine. That's what's happening over here. That's why Yitzchak went to Gerar, because it was a famine. And the Torah records that the Plishtim had stopped up the wells. Can you imagine somebody today, you know, if you water your outdoor watering fine now is, what, $1,000? What happens if you would go to Lake Lanier and start filling it up with dirt? What do you think the fine would be? You think they would lynch the person?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is this? What is the thinking here that they filled it up with dirt? Now, before you answer the question, the grammar here, and I don't want to get into the discussion how the grammar, it would take a whole lesson in and of itself to show this, but the grammar here shows that this does not mean that it was sequential. They had done this in the past. When the Torah is recording this, this had happened before. Earlier, the Plishtim had gone and filled in the wells and stopped it up and then filled it up with dirt. That's what the Torah is recording. So it didn't necessarily happen at this moment during the famine, but this is something that had happened previously in history, that the Plishtim, after Abraham had left or died, they went and obliterated the existence of the wells that Abraham had dug. So maybe they did it not during the time of famine. But why would they do that? Aren't the wells that Abraham had dug in the area of Gerar, which is where the Plishtim live, isn't that beneficial to the Plishtim Empire? Wouldn't the Philistines like to have wells? You're living in the middle of the Middle East. Right. Isn't it good to have wells? What is the sense in filling in these wells with dirt?
Hatred.
Sounds like something the Arabs would do.
Yeah,
they destroyed everything there.
And also not to show ownership. When you have the wells, you can come back and claim it. It's yours.
Okay, good.
But they want to eradicate any vestige.
That's what they're doing by the
Har HaFaris,
right?
Exactly.
So clearly there's an aspect here of hatred, but moreover, as you mentioned, as the Stark mentioned, it's an act of removing Abraham from the scene. As long as Abraham's well is there, it's Abraham's well. In fact, you don't need to turn back, I'll just read it to you. But the last time Abimelech was mentioned, which is back on page 98 in Parashas Vayera, there is a dispute over a well. Mm-hmm. It says Abraham had an argument with Abimelech about the well of water that the slaves of Abimelech had stolen from Abraham. And they went back and forth about, well, who did this and why they do this, and they had to make a treaty about the well. The well was the reason for the treaty. Remember, they made a treaty, Abraham and Abimelech. And they made this treaty in what city? It's an Israeli city today. In Be'er Sheva. In fact, the city was called Be'er Sheva because of the
wells.
Not the seven wells, no. No, because of the Shevuah, because of the oath that they had taken as a treaty to each other. The Plishtim went and filled it in with dirt. That would be the same as taking the contract and tearing it to pieces, burning it. That's what they did. There was this well that Abraham had dug. There was a treaty made concerning the well. Now here it's a bunch of wells, but there was a treaty made about one of the wells, and the Plishtim had totally obliterated its existence. No one should ever know that there was an Abraham who ever existed in the land of the Plishtim, and that there ever had been any kind of a pact between Abraham and the Plishtim. They didn't want anything to do with it. Now, the Torah chooses to point this out now. The Torah could have pointed this out earlier, because it happened earlier. But it wasn't relevant until now. Meaning, it was a fact in history earlier, but it didn't matter. As long as Yitzchak wasn't interacting with the Plishtim, it didn't matter that the Plishtim had torn up the contract. But now that Yitzchak is interacting with them, and we're about to have some friction between Yitzchak and the Plishtim, it is important for us to be aware of the fact that there had been a treaty, but it is now no longer in force, because as far as the Plishtim are concerned, they have rewritten history. There wasn't a treaty. So we move on. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Vayom Avimelech al Yitzchak, Avimelech said to Yitzchak, Leich me'imanu, go from us, ki atzamta mimenu ma'od, for you have become much stronger than us. Vayelech misham Yitzchak, Yitzchak went from there, Vayichan benachal Gror, and he dwelled in the Nachal Gror, which was an area outside of the city of Gerar, Vayeshev Shem, and he settled there. Vayashav Yitzchak, and Yitzchak went back, Vayachpor es Be'eros Hamayim, and he dug the wells of water, Asher Chafru b'mei Avraham Aviv, that they had dug in the days of Avraham his father. Vayesatmum Plishtim, and the Plishtim had filled them in, Acharemos Avraham, after Avraham died. It's repetitive. Vayikron Lohen Shemos, and he called them names, Kashemos Asher Karo Lohen Aviv, like the names that his father had called them. This is a very, very important verse, a hard-to-understand verse, but important. Let me ask the questions that are clear about this verse, and then we can, I'm not sure, well, let's see. Well, we may read on a little bit before we actually answer the questions. But the questions are, first of all, as Mrs. Starkman mentioned, it's repetitive. The Torah just mentioned three psukim earlier that the Plishtim had filled in the wells that Avraham had dug. And here, when it tells us that Yitzchak re-dug them, it takes pains to tell us once again that which wells did he dig? He dug those wells that had been dug in the days of Avraham, his father, and that Plishtim had filled them in after Avraham's death. Now, we may have short memories, but this is a little ridiculous. I mean, this is absurd. It's only three psukim ago. Why does the Torah have to repeat it over here?
For emphasis.
There has to be something being emphasized here. The Torah is making it clear to us. I want you to understand what's going on. It has to do with the fact that the Plishtim filled it in. Okay? Second of all, what is this name calling? He called them names like the names that Avraham had called them. It's fine that Avraham had called them names. Maybe he called one, who knows, Bartholomew. I don't know, whatever he named the names of the wells. Whatever name he gave the well, what difference does it make that Avraham had given them names? The Torah doesn't tell us the names. It just says, Yitzchak.
That's exactly what he said that it is not just, it is according to contact.
Okay,
this
good.
Belongs to
good, excellent. Excellent.
But also covered for his father.
Okay.
That he gives it the same, he recognizes the father
okay.
was the first.
So Yitzchak is re-establishing Avraham's claim and existence in this area. Meaning, Yitzchak is not doing something new. Yitzchak is going back and re-establishing his father's presence. That's all he's doing. He's going to the same wells, digging them, and then he's calling them by the names that his father called them. As if to say, my father was here, and nobody ever filled in these wells. He's obliterating the obliteration. The Plishtim had obliterated it, and he's coming back and saying, no. Let's get it back to the way it was supposed to be. Let's rewrite the rewritten history. Let's get it back to the way it's supposed to be, to reestablish my father's presence exactly the way my father had it. And so he digs the well, and he calls it by the same names. That's why it has to reemphasize the point that the Plishtim had filled them in. It's not that we forgot it. The Torah is making the point to us, he dug the wells that his father's that had been dug in the time of his father, and the Plishtim had filled them in. The Torah has to tell us, that's why he redug them. He didn't redig them because, oh, some dirt fell in, so I need to fix them up for the honor of my father only. It's because the Plishtim had taken pains to destroy any vestige of his father's presence, that's why he redug those wells. He had to make sure to reestablish his father on that spot. With all the wells that he had dug. Then the Torah goes on to tell us something else. Vayachperu avdei Yitzchak banochel, and the servants of Yitzchak dug in that valley. Vayimtzu sham be'ermayim chayim, and they found there a well of living water. Living water means that it's a spring of water, as opposed to if you can dig a hole in the ground and catch rainwater, that would be called a bar mayim, that would be called a well of water, but it would not be called Mayim Chaim. Mayim Chaim, live water, means that it's a well bubbling up, which is always considered to be the best type. It's a spring of water. So he dug there, they dug there, and they found this well. Vayarivu ro'ei Geror im ro'ei Yitzchak le'mor lanu ha'mayim. And the shepherds of Geror fought with the shepherds of Yitzchak to say, ours is the water. The water is ours. Vayikra Shem Aber Esek, and he called the name of the well Esek, which means fighting. Did they translate it in English?
No. Well of Esek.
Okay, it means fighting. Ki Yisasku Imo, for they fought with him. So that's called the well of argument, the well of tension, the well of friction, the well of fighting. That's what it was. Vayach Beru Be'erach Eres, so they dug another well. Vayarivu Gamaleo, they fought also on that one. Vayikra Shema Sitna, and he called that name Sitna. Sitna means hatred. It's really from the word Satan or Satan. It's from that word. But here, the context, it would mean hatred, or arena. A better translation would be, I guess, like bane. Like the bane of Yitzchak. It was this well that they had taken away from him again. So his servant had dug two different wells besides the wells that he had redug from Avraham, and they were fought over and taken away. Vayatek misham, he uprooted from there, so he went somewhere else. Vayachpor be'er acheres, and he dug yet a third well. V'lo ravu alel, they didn't fight over it. Vayikra shema Rechovos, and he called its name Rechovos, which means expansion. Vayomer, he said, ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu, now Hashem has expanded for us, ufarinu va'aretz, and we will be fruitful in the land. So the third well he calls Rechovos, which means expansion. And that this is the well that they did not fight over, and he keeps. The commentaries draw a similarity between the three wells and the three Batei Mikdashos, the three holy temples. The first one, which is then destroyed. The second one, which is then destroyed. But finally, the third one will endure forever. And just as these wells, it takes him three times before he is finally able to establish a well that he keeps and is not fought over. That is analogous to what will happen when the third Beis HaMikdash, the third temple, is built. Now we move on, though. We're not done with wells. What's that?
Did you say the third temple?
The third temple, yeah. Because the first two were destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, you mean
the one with the
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it's foreshadowing what will happen. But we move on. Vayal Misham Be'er Sheva. He went up from there to Be'er Sheva. Now, Be'er Sheva was a site of a well that had been dug by Avraham and was fought over between the Plishtim and Avraham. And they had made that covenant over there in Be'er Sheva. So he went up from there to Be'er Sheva. Why did he go to Be'er Sheva? Doesn't tell us. But he went up from there to Be'er Sheva. Vayerai Lav Hashem Balayla Hahu, and Hashem appeared to him on that night. Vayomer, he said, Anochi Elokei Avraham Avicha, I am the God of Avraham your father. Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki itcha Anochi, for I am with you. Uverachticha, and I will bless you. Viherbeisias Zaracha, and I will increase your seed. Ba'avur Avraham Avi, on behalf of Avraham, my servant. So because you are the son of Avraham, therefore, don't be afraid. I will bless you and increase your seed. Why did God appear to him now? Va'iven sham bizbeach, and he built there an altar. Va'yikra b'shem Hashem, and he called in the name of God. Va'yat shama halo, and he pitched there his tent. So in other words, he set up shop over there. Va'yichlu shama b'Yitzchak be'er, and the servants of Yitzchak over there uncovered a well. They uncovered a well. They dug a well. Va'avin, now, it doesn't tell us anything about this well yet. What's that?
It's in dug well, not that
well. It uses a different word than chafar, which means to dig. It says kara, which is another word, but it seems that, well, I'm not 100% sure what the subtle difference is between the words, but this is a different word than was used before. Va'avimelech halach elav migirar, and Avimelech had come to him from Gerar, so Avimelech came to Be'er Sheva from Gerar. Va'achuzas me'ereyehu, and a group of his entourage, ufichol sartzvo, and fichol his general. Va'yomar alehem Yitzchak, and Yitzchak said to them, I pointed out to you last week, that you see that Yitzchak is addressing all of them together, not addressing only Avimelech as the main one. Avimelech's prestige has dropped, so that he's considered one of the group. And Yitzchak said to them, Madua basem elai, why have you come to me? Vatems ne semosi, and you have hated me, vateshalchuni meitchem, and you sent me away from you. So why have you come to me? So why now? You threw me out of the house, so why are you coming now? Vayomru, and they said, Ra'o ra'inu, we surely saw, Ki haya Hashem imach, that Hashem was with you. Rashi says, Ra'o ra'inu, what's this double language? We have surely seen. We saw with you, and we saw with your father Avraham. Vanomer, and we said, Tihina Allah beinoseinu beinenu uveinecha. Let the oath, the covenant, that was between us, meaning between us and your father Avraham, be between us and you. What are they doing over here? Didn't they fill in those wells?
Well, he's like doing
they're afraid of him.
Making peace.
Yeah, making peace.
They're afraid of him.
They're
coming back and saying.
They're acknowledging.
In you come to fear.
But they're acknowledging that there was a covenant with Avram, right? We saw that God was with you. We saw God was with your father. We said, you know what? That covenant that was between us and your father, let's renew it between us and you. They're coming back with their heads bowed in shame, saying, you know what? Let's renew this covenant. Let us make a covenant with you. If we will do evil with you, and when you have not touched us, and you have only done good with us, and we sent you in peace. Now, blessed Hashem. And they're saying that we should make a covenant that you only did good for us, and we sent you away in peace. We didn't have any fights, we didn't have any war. Let us have this covenant. He made for them a feast. They drank. They got up early in the morning. And each man swore to his friend, which means that they stated the covenant. And Yitzchak sent them away. And they went from him in peace. It was on that day. And the servants of Yitzchak came. When they told them about the well that they had dug, this is the well that was mentioned before, but Yitzchak didn't know about it. His servants had dug it. This is the one that was mentioned back in the end of Pasuk Chafei, the end of 25, that he pitched his tent there and his servants dug a well. But he didn't know about it. And on that day, he had the meeting with Avimelech. And now, after Avimelech leaves the next day, now the servants come and tell him about the well. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, "Matzanu mayim, we found water." Vayikro sa shiva, and he called it shiva, which literally means seven. But the truth is, it's because of the oath, which is also shivua, the term for an oath. Alkain. Kara Akain Shem Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the city is Be'er Sheva. Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. The name of the city is Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the city is Be'er Sheva until this day. Wasn't the city's name already Be'er Sheva? Didn't it say back in Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23, Vayal Misham Be'er Sheva? He went from there to Be'er Sheva? What does it mean that therefore the name of the city is Be'er Sheva until this day?
Probably they recognize that Abraham belongs to Abraham. They recognize covenant.
Okay. 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 What's the extra fact being added in over here in verse Lamed Gimel 33? Adayom Hazeh. Adayom Hazeh. Until this day. You see, until now, the name of the city was Be'er Sheva, but that was not an enduring name, because Yitzchak made the covenant with the Plishtim, therefore the name of the city is Be'er Sheva Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this very day. When you're reading it now, in the year 2007, in the Hebrew year 5768, right now when we're reading this Pasuk, the reason why the name of the city is still Be'er Sheva is not because of Avraham, but because of Yitzchak. Because of Yitzchak. What is the Torah telling us over here? What is happening? We explained a little bit about the whales being filled in, obliterating the name of Avraham, Yitzchak coming back and reestablishing his father. But why all the discussion here about the whales? Okay, we had some connection to the Beis HaMikdash we mentioned. But what's this business? There's such a focus. They dug one well, there was a fight. They dug another well, there was a fight. They dug a third well, no fight. Now we can expand on the land. Then they dig another well, but he doesn't know about it. On that very day, Avimelech comes and they have a discussion. He makes a feast for them. They make a covenant. The next day they leave. And then the servants come and tell him about the well. He calls it the city Be'er Sheva. And I missed one thing also. And Hashem appears to Yitzchak and says, "I'll take care of you because of Avraham." What is the Torah telling us over here? What is happening?
It looks like history is repeating itself. Like Hashem... Whatever Hashem promised to Abraham is now be fulfilled through Yitzchak, his heir.
Okay, good.
That we are being told that this land is ours forever.
Okay, good, excellent.
It's almost like the torch is being passed from one generation to another.
Yeah, not good. Just for 10 years, 20 years, forever.
Ad hayom hazeh, until this day. The Torah is forever. So if the Torah writes until this day, that means forever. Good. We have to review something I mentioned, I believe, last week or the week before about Yitzchak. But before we do that, let me ask you that the Torah here is talking about wells of water, mayim. In fact, sometimes it's not even mentioned that there's a well, just as we found water. Water is the thing that's being mentioned over here. What does water symbolize? It symbolizes Torah, and what did you say?
Light.
And light. It symbolizes physical life, physical existence, and Torah, which is spiritual existence. Water is the symbol of all life, physical and spiritual, both. Water is the symbol of it all. We mentioned, when we discussed the generalities about Yitzchak, that Yitzchak's job was to be the bridge between Abraham and Yaakov. We talked about how there's very little print about Yitzchak, how the Torah focuses on Abraham for many parashios, and then there's a lot about Yaakov and about the sons of Yaakov. There is very little about Yitzchak, and we said even the parts that are about Yitzchak, the discussion is really only about Yitzchak as an aside, as a bystander. Like when Eliezer goes to get him a wife, Yitzchak isn't even there. And then there's a discussion about Rivka. There is a discussion about Yaakov and Esav being born. There's not much about Yitzchak. The only thing that is exclusively about Yitzchak is here, about the wells. But even here we pointed out, the truth is Abraham's name keeps coming up over and over and over again. Yitzchak's job is to bridge between Abraham and Yaakov. Abraham started the whole thing. Abraham came from nothing and established the beginning of the Jewish people. Yaakov took everything that the previous two generations, his father Yitzchak, his grandfather Abraham, had already brought into the world, and he put it all together and from there formed the actual nation, which is the 12 tribes. Because Yaakov, Yitzchak, Abraham, in the reverse order, they are avos, they are patriarchs, the 12 tribes are banim, are children. Because they are now the beginning of the nation itself. Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are forming the nation. The 12 tribes begin the actual nation itself. So Yaakov is the one who brings the nation into existence. Abraham begins that process. Yitzchak is a bridge between Abraham and Yaakov. Each one of the avos, each one of the patriarchs, has something special to contribute. We know Abraham stands for chesed, which is kindness. And we know Yaakov stands for Torah. Yitzchak, we mentioned in previous weeks, stands for avoda, which means service. Service as in the sacrifices. He himself is a karbon. He himself is a sacrifice when he was offered up to Hashem. And also, avoda is synonymous with davening, with prayer, with tefillah. As we know that today, when we don't have the sacrifices, the davening is in place of the sacrifices. In these few psukim that we have about Yitzchak, the Torah is showing us where Yitzchak establishes himself. Yitzchak's job was to be a bridge. If you are a bridge, you don't really have an identity. If all you're doing is bridging between one and the other, then you yourself are not really anything specific. You're just the glue holding together two things. But sometimes the bridge can be so extraordinary, can be so remarkable, that the bridge itself becomes significant. The Brooklyn Bridge. Right? The Brooklyn Bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, but the Brooklyn Bridge, when it was built, was in itself significant, because it was an amazing feat, and which brought together Manhattan and Brooklyn. It was just an amazing thing to have a bridge like that. The bridge itself was not a no-name, it was something very significant. I say that, of course, I don't compare Yitzchak to an actual bridge, but sometimes the bridge can be so incredible, it actually has its own significance.
No, because our body.
I think we all do.
Isn't he also Gevura?
He's Gevura, strength.
That's,
yes.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yitzchak's job is on the one hand to simply carry on his father's role, but in so doing, he himself is significant. It's an amazing thing. Yitzchak is, I always think of him, when you say Gevura, strong, I always think of him as the strong man.
Mm-hmm.
The strong, silent type. Right? He's the powerful guy, but you know, he doesn't ever, never says much. He's quiet. He's in the background. But he's there. He's that, right? He's that guy right there. You know you can count on him, but he's quiet. That's why I conceptualize him. He is the person who is, on the one hand, he is only re-digging those wells that Avram had dug. He's going and saying to the Plishim, you can't obliterate my father's presence. I'm going to reestablish my father's presence exactly the way it was, in the same places with the same names. But in so doing, Yitzchak himself becomes significant. He digs the next well, they steal it from him. He digs another well, they steal it from him. He digs a third well, they don't steal it from him. Yitzchak says, oh, one second. Now there's something happening. Now Hashem has expanded for us, and now we will be able to be fruitful in the land. The fact that they were able to hold on to that third well showed Yitzchak that there's something for me to do here. There's something, I'm establishing something. He wasn't finished yet, but I'm establishing something.
What is his Gevura fame?
What's that?
Why are you talking about Gevura?
He's also known for Gevura.
So where is he in the Gevura?
The Gevura is not one where he's strong like this, not physically strong, although he probably was, but it's the spiritual strength. The Mishnah says, Ezehu Gibor, who's a strong person, Hakove Shes Yitzro, somebody who is able to overcome his inclination.
But he did show that he was strong in fighting with the angel of Esau.
That's Yaakov.
Oh, Yaakov,
right. Right.
It couldn't have been easy. I mean, to be Abraham's son, to have the life that he did, to hold on the way he was, you know, I hear you saying words like simple and only, and that's...
No, you're right. I say tongue-in-cheek. The natural urge to assert oneself and say, I'm going to trailblaze. I'm going to be my own man. That's a natural urge. But instead, to reestablish his father, that takes a lot of gevurah. It takes a lot of strength. And to show that his father's existence still mattered. Now, yes, where's his son? No.
I have a question that is not exactly right here, but before you go...
Go ahead.
But I'm very puzzled... In verse 24, it says Hashem appears to him that night and says, I am the God of your father, Abraham, you're not strong.
Okay.
I would have thought Hashem identifying himself as the God of his father, Abraham, might be done the very first time Hashem ever spoke to him. But I'm puzzled as to why
over here would he say it this way? What is being said to Yitzchak is, Yitzchak's job is to establish, to reestablish, to make sure that the legacy of his father Abraham remains. Once he does that, now he himself becomes significant. Hashem only appears to Yitzchak once he has established his father. And that's why Hashem says to Yitzchak, I am Hashem, the God of your father Abraham. You deserve my presence because of your father Abraham. Meaning, because you have made sure that Abraham's existence was not obliterated, that's why you deserve me to appear to you. You yourself have become important because of Abraham. He's not saying to Yitzchak, the way one may be tempted to read this, that you're nothing. You're not really important. I'm only appearing to you because you happen to be your father's son. You inherited the wealth. That's what one might say. It's just the opposite. Because you made certain that Avraham's legacy was carried on, that's why I'm appearing to you. It's Yitzchak's own importance that's being accentuated over here. Yitzchak has made his own claim to eternity because instead of ignoring his father's legacy and saying, I'm going to trailblaze my own thing, he instead reestablished his father. By doing so, he himself becomes significant through his father. That's why that verse says, and let's read it, that Ms. Conover just mentioned, verse 24, Pasuk Chaf Daled, God appeared to him on that night when he went to Be'er Sheva. Why did Yitzchak go to Be'er Sheva? Once he dug that third well, and it wasn't stolen from him, now he knew that he was on the right track. Something was going right. It was time for him to make his mark. When he dug his father's wells, he was trying to reestablish his father's presence. Why didn't he already go back to Be'er Sheva and redig that well? That well was also filled in. He didn't do that yet because that was in Eretz Yisrael proper. He was in the land of the Plishtim and he redug the wells of his father. Then he dug other wells to see what's going to happen here. Am I ready? Am I yet at the point where I can go to Be'er Sheva and in Be'er Sheva, which is the land of Eretz Yisrael itself, re-establish my father's presence there as well? And when the third well doesn't get stolen from him, now he knows the time has come. So he goes to Be'er Sheva, in verse 23, Chaf Gimel, and on that very night, when he goes to Be'er Sheva, Hashem appears to him and says, I am the God of Avraham, your father. Don't be afraid, for I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will increase your seed on behalf of Avraham, my servant. Because you were faithful to Avraham, therefore all of this is going to happen to you. So then it says he built an altar, he called in the name of God, he established his tent there, and his servants dug a well. He didn't know about it yet, but his servants dug a well. That's the most important of all the wells. They dug a well. This is the well in Be'er Sheva. Abimelech had already come to him from Gerar. They had, remember, they were the ones who didn't acknowledge Avraham. But Yitzchak had gone through such pains to reestablish Avraham. And now Avimelech comes to him from Gerar, and not only him, but his entourage, and Fichol, his general. There's nobody on the fence. They're all with him. And they all say to Yitzchak, Yitzchak says to them, why have you come? You threw me out. You hated me. What do you want from me? And they say, no. We want to reestablish it. We regret what we did. We want to reestablish the covenant. So, they make this covenant, he gives them to eat and drink, they sleep there that night, they get up in the morning, they reestablish their oaths, and Yitzchak sends them away. And then, verse 32, and it was on that day, Vayavoh Avdei Yitzchak and the servants of Yitzchak came by Agidulo, and they told him, Alodos HaBe'er Asher Chafaru, about the well that they had dug, Vayomulo, they said to him, Matzanu Mayim, we have found water, Vayikra Usa Shiva, and he called it Shiva, Al Kain Shem Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the well is Be'er Sheva Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now that Yitzchak has made his mark, therefore the name of the city is Be'er Sheva. What did Avraham name the city? Be'er Sheva. He didn't change the name. He didn't make his own name. But his legacy is, what is Yitzchak's legacy? That Avraham's legacy is Ad Hayom Hazeh. Yitzchak's legacy is that not a different legacy, it is the enduring of Avraham's legacy. That's Yitzchak's legacy. Avraham had a legacy, he named it Be'er Sheva, but that was not going to be an eternal name. Yitzchak comes along, reestablishes his father, he's faithful to his father, and as a result, the name is Be'er Sheva. But it was always Be'er Sheva. No, but now it's Be'er Sheva, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now it's an enduring name. That's what Yitzchak's all about. Yitzchak doesn't mind being in the shadow of his father. And as a result of not minding being in the shadow of his father, he is responsible for the eternity of Avraham's message. That's what Yitzchak does. Now, on a more practical level, all of this, all the Mefarshim, all the commentaries say that all this, the whole, this whole episode with the wells is one of these things that's very... there's a lot of depth, there's a lot of mysticism and Kabbalah behind it all. There's a lot going on over here. There's much happening over here. We're only scratching the surface as usual, but on a more practical level, Abraham stands for Chesed, as we said. Chesed is kindness. Kindness is a wonderful thing, and we all know the importance of kindness. And we all know that that is something which we strive to do. We strive to be kind, to practice loving kindness. We strive to care for our fellow Jews. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it's a tremendous mitzvah. And we spoke about, when we spoke about Avraham, how that has to be the first characteristic which is established. Because the pasuk says, the verse says, Olam chesed yibane, the world is built on kindness. If you're going to build anything, you have to start with kindness. If you start with anything else, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall in on itself. It's got to start with chesed. That's why Noach, in the ark, everything is chesed. The whole year he's got to feed the animals, and he has no time to rest, because the world has to be built on chesed, on kindness. But chesed, left unchecked, is a terribly destructive force. Chesed on its own can be a horrible thing. How could chesed be a horrible thing? Oh, we feel so bad for the terrible murderer and the terrible molester. He shouldn't sit in jail all this time. Look at him, he's so sad in jail. How can we let him sit there? We need to take him out of jail. We need to be kind to him. We need to let him out. Or, how can you put this serial killer to death? You'd be killing him. How could you kill? How could you spill blood? We have to be kind to him and let him go. How can we punish the sinners? or, you'll excuse my political statement over here. The poor mollusks downstream, how can we drink their water? Okay, I don't want to get involved in politics. But that's what I'm saying. Chesed is a wonderful thing, but if it's unchecked, it can be very destructive. Because what ends up happening is different chesed conflicts with other ones. You can be kind to the murderer, which is in turn being cruel to the future victims. You can be kind to the animals, which may be cruel to the people. Chesed can't live on its own, because you end up with conflicts. Where does the chesed end and where does the cruelty start? You can't have unbounded chesed. Avram stood for chesed, but it can't go unchecked. And he had to stand for chesed. Yitzchak is the next step of Gevura, of strength, of Avoda. Yitzchak stands for Din, for judgment, for the harsh reality of judgment, where there is no chesed, where you live by the book, where this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be, and there's no wavering. That's what Yitzchak stands for. And Yitzchak's strength, it complements the strength of Avraham. Brought together, you end up with Yaakov, that is Torah. Torah is the complement of those two things, of chesed and din, of those two seemingly conflicting character traits. Yitzchak, how does he establish din? How does he establish judgment? Establish this letter of the law type of thing? He could have established it by going out on his own and setting up a society where you live by the book and there is no mercy. And if you make one small infraction, that's it, you're out. That's what he could have done. That could be. He knew what he had to establish. He could have done that. But he didn't do it that way, because that's also destructive. You can't have a society that lives only on din, only on judgment. That would be just as destructive or more destructive than a world built only on kindness, because people can't live that way. In fact, the Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, when Hashem created the world, all of the machshava, he had wanted to create the world with only din, with only judgment, But he knew that people would never survive, so he took chesed, he took kindness, and he was mishatefit. He brought it together into one thing. The world is a combination of chesed and din, the two things together, Avraham and Yitzchak. So the way that Yitzchak establishes din is only through Avraham. Yitzchak is far too wise to go and make the mistake of establishing din on its own. The goal is that the din, the judgment, be only through Avraham. So it's within perpetuating Avraham's legacy that Yitzchak establishes himself. And that's the way he does it. The way that he lives, according to the letter of the law, according to the book, without any wavering, is he steps exactly in his father's footsteps. That's what he does. He walks exactly, which is din, that's judgment, walking exactly in his father's footsteps, the footsteps of chesed, of kindness. You see what he does? These are footsteps in front of him of kindness, of chesed. He needs to establish din, which is seemingly the opposite, which means being exactly the way it is and no wavering. He does it by stepping perfectly in those footsteps. That's analogous to what's happening over here. By doing that, he then becomes Yitzchak's, the Yitzchak that we know. He becomes our patriarch by perpetuating his father's legacy. That's what Yitzchak's about. That's scratching the surface of what is going on here with the wells. Let me pause here for any questions before I conclude.
What about din? What is it about din and judgment?
It doesn't say that in the psukim. It doesn't say that in the verses. Our sages tell us, Chazal say, that Yitzchak, who stands for these things, for strength, for avoda, for service,
for judgment.
So they equate it with din, with judgment. That's what they say about him. That's what he's about.
He's symbolized by him going back and redigging the well.
He's doing exactly right. Exactly.
And naming him exactly the same.
Right. That's right.
Setting
the boundaries. That's right. He's setting the boundaries. The chesed, which is without boundaries, is destructive. He sets those boundaries. But within the confines of chesed, within that backdrop of chesed.
But Abraham also had boundaries because, he did go to war.
He did have boundaries. It's true. He did have boundaries. But when we say what he established for all generations, he established chesed. He stands for chesed. That's what he's about. That's what, when a Jew acts with kindness, a Jew is drawing from those genes of chesed that we get from Abraham. When it says that the Jews have three character traits, there are three things that all Jews share. We are... What's that? That's the third thing. We are rachmanim, we're merciful. We are baishanim, we have shame. And we are gomle chasadim, we do kindness. The doing of kindness is drawing from Abraham. That's where that's coming from. Now, this is where we're going to pause. As we mentioned, we actually now have a 3-week break. We're not going to meet again 4 weeks. So we're going to skip 3 weeks. We're not going to meet on the 23rd. Or the 30th, or the 6th, we will meet again on the 13th. It is at that point that we will begin with the last two psukim of Perek Chavav, the last two verses of chapter 26, and then move on to chapter 27, Chavzayin, which is all about the blessings. This is going to bring us back to Yaakov and Esav. One of the questions we have not answered yet, because we can't do it until we then see what happens in the next chapter, is to show what is the flow. We started with the birth of Yaakov and Esav and that incredibly powerful nevuah, the prophecy that Rivka had from Shame. We kind of stopped in the middle with this whole business of Yitzchak, and now we're going to move on to the blessings, which gets back to Yaakov and Esav. It seems like the Torah is, with three different acts and they have nothing to do with each other. So what we are going to show, as we understand this difficult parasha, the difficult episode of the blessings, and show really what people don't understand, which is what was Yitzchak thinking and what was happening there with the blessings, and we're going to discuss that in depth. we're going to show why it was extremely important for us to know all about Yitzchak before knowing about the blessings. Because it is with this understanding of Yitzchak that the blessings are now going to make a lot more sense than they did before. That will we will do B'nai Neder on the 13th of January.
I have a question.